Well, on Saturday mornings in our How to Study God's Word Correctly, we're having a wonderful time in God's Word. But one of the things we've learned is don't ever go to His Word without asking for His Spirit's help. So let's do that right now. Father God, we thank You for who You are and just the wonderment of the songs and the words that we sang today that declare Your glory and majesty. Help our hearts to believe that even more. And as we study and open Your Word and see what You want us to learn and want to practice, we ask that Your Spirit would just enrich our hearts, open our eyes, help us to believe that this is Your Word. And we ask in the name of Jesus, amen. I want you to raise your hands. How many people here at one time in your life needed help? I want to see every hand raised. Okay, all right. Good, thanks for your honesty. It is true. What's that? Yeah, you can have two hands, yeah. All right, okay, another question. Who would say that you are a very needy person? Not so many. The world would tell you how to be self-sufficient. We don't want to listen to the world. God tells us you and I are people in need of help. And we're going to look at that today through the life of Samuel. Great passage that's there in Scripture. The word help means a few things. Being surrounded by, defending, giving aid to. The idea of allies in war. And when it comes to God, victory and conquering. Boy, I like that. God's help brings victory and conquering over whatever it is. And we're going to learn about this stone that Samuel lifted up after this great battle was won. And without looking in your Bibles, what did he call this stone? Ebenezer. Some people have no idea. We sang about Ebenezer today. Anybody have any idea what you're singing about? I raise my Ebenezer. God is my help. A stone of help is what it means. And Samuel raised that up. And we want to talk about remembering who God is in the time of help. God declares to us that we are a needy people. As a matter of fact, he says, blessed are you who know that you're in need. Matthew 5:3 says that. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, who understand, even in their spiritual aspect, they're completely bankrupt. They have nothing to give to God as merit or anything that could reach to him. And if we have need of that, then we're in a good place to come to him and receive what he has for us. And we're going to hopefully talk about that at the end here. But there's some great verses that talk about God as our helper. Psalm 54:4, behold, God is my help. That's pretty plain. Samuel 33:20, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Psalm 63:7, because the Lord has been my help, I will rejoice. That's what we've been doing, recognizing God is our help. Psalm 121:2, my help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's he adds that in there to let us know. This is the creator of all, of everything. He's capable of helping us. There's a great one everyone knows, Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Marvelous verses that God wants us to know that he's our helper. Now, if I could just give a little commercial here, as we study the book of Samuel, we've been studying on Saturdays some real good tools and ideas and processes of how to study God's Word accurately. And one of those ways, And I just want to, this is what we handed out Saturday in our workbook. Let me just share a couple synopsis from here of what we're learning about. We've been learning about how to study the Bible literally, how to do it allegorically, when it's figuratively, learning to discern that. And it says this, when the plain sense of the passage makes sense, seek no other sense, lest you come up with nonsense. Okay? So we want to take God's word literally unless he tells us that it's figuratively or symbolically or allegory. So these are things we're learning. But here's another tip that we're learning I think is very good for us and appropriate here. Always interpret the Old Testament in the clearer light of the New Testament. And let me just give you a little illustration about that. How many people here are puzzle people? All right, good. I'm not. There's people that put thousands of puzzles together. My in-laws were great at that. Whenever I would come and visit them, they would have a card table out, and then they'd have another little table with all the pieces, and they'd start to put all these pieces together. The slavings, where's Joy? Huh? There she is. How come you're not sitting over here? Okay, all right, you sit back there. The slavings are a great puzzle people. Always got puzzles going. The kind of puzzles that I like is when I do with my grandson, 10 to 12 pieces. And you put them together, and then what do? Turn them upside down, and you start again. I'm good at that. But these puzzle pieces, and what they do, if you ever watched them, when they start, where do they start? They start on the edge. They make a border. And then they begin to fill in the pieces. It's kind of like us when we study God's word. There's thousands of puzzles, pieces of truth here that you and I are putting together. Some of it's hard. It takes time, a lifetime. But the Old Testament, if I could just illustrate it, is kind of like the border. We start with there because, you know, it kind of lays it out. Genesis, God created all things. It's a good place to start. And man was created by God and he sinned. Now there's a plan and we're reading all about that. But as we build in and get the pieces more and more together and we start to fill in the center, when we see the whole picture, what do we see? Jesus! You got it? When we study the scriptures, Old Testament and New, we're filling in all the pieces, and when it's done, we see Jesus. So even in the Old Testament, God is painting a picture for us about Jesus from what we're going to learn today, from what we learned last week with Tim and the others who have taught Samuel. So, let's get into the passage. 1 Samuel chapter 7, starting in verse 12. Okay, give you just a minute. Sorry about that. To open that up. Hopefully, if you've been reading Samuel with us, you already had a marker in there. You're right there, okay? If you remember last week, Tim taught on, and as I listened to Tim, I kind of thought of this perfect storm in a positive way. Philistines are out here, and they're looking for every opportunity to destroy Israel. But because of Samuel's message, the people respond. They fall on their knees and repent, using water as a symbol to wash themselves. And Samuel, as the Philistines raise up and see this and want to attack, they cry out to Samuel and he creates a sacrifice of which the law talked about. And then he prayed to God for help. And God miraculously helped them. You remember how he did it? Eh? I heard it. Thunder. Can you imagine what that must be like? I love thunder. Do you ever go to a fireworks? My favorite fireworks is the white light that makes noise. boom. Wow. What power. And to think about it, what that must have been like in that battle. For God, nothing's too hard for God. He just threw a little thunder out there and lightning. Pow! And they were fearful and just started running, and Israel came and destroyed them. Many of you and I love that part of the story, even in our own lives, when God comes and rescues us or heals us or relieves us from the problem. If you're like me, though, so often I've prayed for so many different things, healing, financial help, family stuff, and God has come faithfully year in and year out. And when he does, guess what I do? Forget. I forget to come back and thank him. This is Samuel's way of thanking him. Let me read it to you. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far has the Lord helped us." This was a perfect stone because when you and I are in a place where we see our need and repent of who we are before a living, holy God, he is a just and holy God who is great in mercy. And he does come to us and helps us. It's a marvelous part of this story. Like Tim said, but why do they turn away all the time? Why do you and I turn away from God? He's always there to help us. Let's be in a place where we get God's help, where he's willing to lavish on us all the time his grace because we're walking with him. So then, the Philistines were subdued and did not invade the Israelite territory again in Samuel's lifetime. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. The towns from Ekron to Gath that the Philistines had captured from Israel were restored to her, and Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the power of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. The Amorites are those tribes that were connected to the Canaanites. Do you remember our study back in Joshua and the peace treaty that was made kind of because they faked a distant land type idea? That's what it is here. And God allowed them to have peace, continue with the Amorites, who were a vicious people. When you and I remember who God is and recognize that and acknowledge who he is, three things out of the passage here that really happens for us to get excited about. First of all, he restores back to us the things that were taken. That's what God is about. He's a God who wants to restore not only things lost, but our relationship with him, which is the priority. Notice there, and Israel delivered. There's deliverance from anything that has us in bondage. God wants to deliver us. He's a God of help. And then the third thing that came out of this wonderful help by God is he brought peace between the Israelites and the Amorites. Now, the truth here that we want to do in order that we remember God is to have our Ebenezer. That's a funny word for us today. So what we want to do, and we learned this in Joshua, when they had the Jordan opened up for them, you remember they put 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan as a monument, and then they put some on the other side to remember the good things of God. Because you and I are very apt to forget time and time again. We must remember who God is and that he will bring help to us. I started thinking about, monuments, things for us to remember. I used to have a lot of trophies in my house until my wife got tired of cleaning them. And then they went, and that's okay. But they were times to help me remember some things I accomplished. They're kind of selfish things, but I remember the time I got an award for hitting the most home runs. I got a trophy for that. And I had a no-hitter. I pitched a no-hitter. Boy, I got a trophy for that. And I won a few championships, so I got a trophy for that. And then one time, and I'm not bragging here. I just want to tell you some things that we try to do for ourselves. I got a trophy for being the best sportsman. I didn't, you know, curse at the umpires and stuff like that. That was good, okay? So we try to have trophies to remember things that we accomplished. They're okay. I didn't mind them getting thrown out. But what God wants us to do is to make trophies of things that he has done for us as a recognition of his help, because we're constantly forgetting. So what I'd like to do today, I'm going to share a couple things, the way God has helped us as a church here at Hope, and then I'm going to open it up to you. I know some of the old timers, I'm not going to look over here, I did that last time, I think. You probably have a lot of things to remember, but if you're even new to our church, or even within a year, hopefully there's things that you've seen already that God has done in our midst that we want to remember. So we're going to give you an opportunity to share that. But first, I want to share just a couple as illustrations. We started Hope Community Church. We called it Family Bible Church years ago. Back in 1979, met as a little Bible study, started to grow bigger, and then we got to a place we needed a building. So we rented Ardsley Community Center, and it was a wonderful facility, except every time we had to come in, we had to set up chairs, tear them down before we left, and clean all the cigarette smells out of the room so we could have our children in there. Not unlike today, where we got to set down chairs, put them away, and clean cigarettes out there for the kids to sit there. But we were going to the point that we, you know, we would like to have something that was really stable. Well, God opened opportunity. We heard about this building here, and this building, their pastor left them, and this church had 8 people in the congregation. So we said to ourselves, I bet you they would love to have us rent this place at night so it could help pay for the facilities. So that was kind of our intent. And we had a gentleman came out. How many remember Leroy? There's some old timers. Leroy played the saw, and he was great at it. What a wonderful, wonderful godly man Leroy was. Well, he came to our little building and was so excited, he went back and told the other 7 members, and they came to us and said, listen, you come and just take this church. We want you to have it. Well, at that time, it was worth $400,000. I don't know what it's worth today. But God gave us that building. And the neat thing about it is, we were working with a gentleman, Sam Ingewa, from Kenya, and he said, he was poor, here studying to be a pastor, let me pay for your church. So he gave us $1, because that's what you have to do to make it legal. So God, way back when we started, allowed us to have this church for $1. What an amazing God. Another time in my life, and this works kind of personally and with us as a church here at Hope, it was a time where we really went through a valley. We had 2 elders, and the way I see it, we had 2 elders that basically were in the process of dying. One physically, one spiritually. And it was hard. And statistics tell us that most people, when that happens because of the one sin of the one man, which we had to expel, most of the time, the church falls apart. But God is our help. And he came through. And he had a gentleman who, prior to this time, came and was just so weary of ministry. But during that time, God began to revive him and his family. And he loved it here. And when we got to a point where we needed someone to step in and help, Dr. Paul Tripp was here to help us. An amazing teacher, if you were part of that. International. And here's this little church that God says, I'm taking care of you. I'll be your help. And Paul was here for almost 11 years and just served this church marvelously. And we look back at that and just say, thank you, God. In the midst of that, Ron Sistlin, who went to take some of Paul's courses over at CCF, was so impressed with Paul that he came here, was willing to give up on the church. He was tired of the church. He didn't see genuinism or something that was real. But when he came here, God allowed us to be a minister to that family and revived his soul again and gave him hope in Christ and the church. So as we look at all the crises that we go through in times, we see God's help available all the time. And we praise him for that. We must not forget that. So, we want to open this up to you, just as a word of testimony for the faithfulness of our God. And we have, Dave, where's the mic? Dave has a mic. Maybe Greg, you could take that mic from him. And if you could just stand, Greg will bring the mic to you. And just give a short story of God's faithfulness in the midst of us as we as a church take this journey together and see the faithfulness of God. Any story that pops in your mind? Doesn't have to be old stories. What's that? All right, hang on a second. Dave's coming. We even have a visitor. He's been here the shortest time, and he has a story.
Actually, it's always gratefulness is something that always my heart is, my heart overflows, and I can count the goodness of the Lord in the past 20 years since the time I have come to know the Lord. It always amazes me, impresses me. Here, I'm reading a verse, Judges chapter 2, verse 6 onwards. After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of their land, each to his own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Mm. That's the most important thing, you know. There comes a generation who forget the Lord's goodness. And the consequences of it was, chapter 3, verse 7, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherahs.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. That is the message of all the scripture, is time and time again, people forget the wonders and graciousness of God. We must never. Faith, you had your hand up. Greg, over here.
I'll try to make this short, not too long. But this happened to actually my husband and I yesterday. And I just feel like you're preaching right to me today. It's really amazing.
Okay. Good.
To make it short, but to give it a little bit of background to make it a little bit more significant, my husband has been struggling chronically with sickness for 3 years now. And it basically covers almost every waking moment for him. He has pain. And for forever, you know, I've tried really hard to figure out how can we get him better, what diets can we do. We've been to millions of doctors, mainstream doctors from University of Pennsylvania, some of the best in the country for gastrointestinal stuff, and we have just felt like we've tried everything, and it's still, you know, we find hope, and then we, you know, it just, this whole sense of like, you can't do it, you know, this, I need, you know, to say, God, I am a person in need, and I can't figure it out. I can't figure it out for my husband, and I can't make everything work. So a couple of things have happened, but yesterday, my husband's been going to a Christian chiropractor, and he really encouraged my husband to go to his church yesterday. We went up to Harleysville, and they prayed for us there and laid his hands on Christu and prayed for me as well. I've been really broken through this. And, you know, and on the way up, I kind of felt guilty that, Lord, I don't feel that close to you. Like, how is this really going to work this time? We've tried this before, and how is it really going to work? Because I'm not feeling close to you right now. Like it depended on me, you know, which is just, I've seen this so bad, so false, when we think that God is not going to work if it's not from what we do, you know. And so we went, and it was so neat. It was such a small church, beautiful countryside, beautiful day. We went in this really small room, and there was this older woman and a man in a wheelchair, and we thought, well, maybe we were interrupting something, but they were there to pray for us. And their faith and their tenderness and everything was just so amazing. And we really just felt so blessed. And they said, they really tended to our spirits and said, you know, we really believe you are going to see things soon. God is going to bless you soon, and it's going to happen. And we were like, okay. Really emotional, really great. Okay, so we ended up leaving the church just feeling so blessed. And on the way back, I saw a sign for a garage sale. Okay, and a little bit more, I'm trying to make this short again. A little bit more, I've been really, it's my husband's 30th birthday coming up. And, you know, he's from South Africa. He doesn't have his family here, you know, and I've been thinking, I just really want to make this a great birthday for him. So I've been trying to secretly, of course he knows now, I've been trying to secretly find a sausage maker, or a meat grinder. This sounds very odd, but there's a certain sausage that you can only get in South Africa that I really wanted to make for him. And so I thought, God just told me, like, when I saw it, this is in the country, I saw this garage sale, it's like, go to the garage sale. I just, can we turn there? Can we go there quickly? And he's like, oh, well, okay. And so then we went, and we got to this house, and I just knew there was going to be one there. I just knew it. Like, I don't know how, but I just, really weird. I was still kind of emotional from the whole whole prayer time. And I went up, and I said, do you have a meat grinder? And then the woman was like, oh, I don't know. Let me ask, you know, my dad here. Hey, you have a meat grinder? And he was this older man, and he said, you know, that's really weird. I just brought one up from the basement. And he's like, I didn't even remember I had it. He's like, this is so weird. I just brought it up. And I just, you know, and so he was like, then he said, you know, stuff like this has been happening to me for the last 6 months, weird stuff like this. And I said, you know, I knew you were gonna have a meat grinder. And he was like, looking at me like, like, this is weird. and I was like, no, here's my husband. I kind of explained it at first birthday. I knew there was going to be a meat grinder here. And I've been praying about this. He's like, you've been praying about this meat grinder? And I said, yeah, I have. And he's like, this is weird. And he keeps going, you know, saying things. And I explained, you know, how we just happened to be in the area. We're from Philadelphia, and we were going to this church, and they prayed for us. And then we explained, he's like, oh, what church? You know, and then he was just like, he's getting more and more like, this is weird. And I was like, oh, church just right around the corner. And then he goes, oh, that church? And you can see over some of the farms, and you can see the steeple of the church from his house. And he was like, oh, man. Then he started to share with me that, he started to cry, and he started to share with me how his wife died 6 months ago. And ever since then, he has had these strange occurrences, these strange things. And he said, and it just was amazing. And he asked, so what is your name? Because I asked his name, and I was like, oh, my name is Faith. And he was like, this is too much. This is just too much. And between that and just crying for him, because I just knew, like, this is, I've never felt God so, like, nothing that I could have ever done. I could never orchestrate getting this meat grinder coming here. I could have never done that. And here I'm just trying to fix everything on my own and trying to do everything on my own. And God just, I mean, between that, between the grinder that he said he didn't even know, and all these things, he just couldn't believe that I was there for his meat grinder. And then he just, you know, prayed with, like, we just said, you know, I think, Randy, God loves you. He wants you. And he goes, And he just said, nobody can tell me there isn't a God. And I said, I think you need to go to church tomorrow. And he says, I think so too.
So. That is a great story. And you know, the moral of the story is, if God is interested in meat grinders for our needs, how much more? That's how I want to end this, and we're going to touch about that. Let's have one more, and then I want to wrap this up. Kim.
Oh, hi. First of all, thank everyone for prayer. I was the one who they were thanking the Lord for a lot of prayer. I had a surgery done, and they told me it would take about a month for this surgery to take place, and I came home that day, slept for about 5 hours, and I woke up. And my problem was I was having trigeminal neuralgia, which is constant pain, so I can relate. And I'm smiling and talking, so praise God, praise God. And just how God is there to help us. And Al and I were talking on the way up here, and he was mentioning a couple churches on the way, and just how I even came into faith was through my daughter, where this church opened up this facility and allowed her, who went to Upper Moreland down the street, to have a concert. And she wanted to have it at the school, and she was really bummed out because they said, no, we don't want to do concerts anymore. And so she had a Christian concert held out here, and of course I came to help my daughter out, and I was just embraced with really kind, caring people. And I've taught Christian school, I've been in churches, and to be honest with you, I kind of went away from it a little bit, because as you get into churches, sometimes you find a lot of stuff that goes on, and you know, I was depending more on people rather than the Lord, I think, back then. And God just said, you're getting back to church, girl. And he brought me here, and haven't left since. And it's just a wonderful, caring place. And that's just what we're all about. And just from that point, how the Lord has just been constantly doing and for me and filling all my needs. So good message. Thanks.
Thanks, Kim. Grant, give it to Greg. Again, just to kind of wrap this up, we each have our stories where we see God's help. Maybe you haven't gone to God for help. Maybe you've never experienced God's help. I want you to know the God of help wants to express and show you who he is. But you need to come by faith. And as I think about all these little things that God works and orchestrates in, they're all part of a process. Even the story in Samuel, for us to journey to the place of greatest need, which is the salvation of our souls. And the greatest thing that we could remember, and that's why we do communion here on a regular basis, is that Christ came, God incarnate in the flesh, became a man, took on flesh and blood for us to experience what you and I experience, yet without sin, and became the perfect sacrifice, as Samuel took a perfect sacrifice to bring before God for help for the people. God provided a perfect sacrifice for you and I, for our greatest need, the salvation of our soul, and it's in Jesus, so that we look to the cross. It's where our greatest need is. And we must never forget that. Our God has given us our greatest need. How much more, says the scripture, will he freely give us everything, even a meat grinder, because he loves us. So you and I need to learn, even as this gentleman read today, in Judges, it's all through Scripture. They'd see God work and they forgot about them. We must not forget who God is. We must remember our God is a very present help in the time of trouble. We can call out to him and he will answer us and show us great and mighty things which we don't even know. Let's pray. Father, help us to be a people who absolutely know that we are needy. We are helpless. Apart from you, we can do nothing. But we thank you that you're a God who says, is anything too hard for me? And Lord, we answer, nothing is too hard for you. You can meet our greatest need from the depths of our soul and our emotions and our minds and our bodies. And we give them to you. We ask that we here at Hope would be a people who never forget you. And that when we come each week, we sing your praises out of hearts that are full of love and appreciation of you. We are a people who are helpless, and you are a God who wants to help. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today who thinks they can live this life without you, please touch their hearts. Show them their need of you. Allow their eyes to be open. Give them ears to hear your voice. And we thank you. Thank you for Jesus and the sacrifice that was sufficient enough for us to become sons and daughters by faith in what Jesus has done. We praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.